this afternoon for the meeting. Feel like it's been profitable to all. I don't feel like I have a large message, but I feel like I have an important message, and I'd like to leave it with you. I want to start in the fifth chapter of James. And begin reading with the 13th verse, where the writer says, "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If there's any merry, let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner hath from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. This passage of Scripture, speaking a lot about prayer and prayers that are answered, prayers that are effective. And I'm interested in that today, and I feel like you are too. Prayer is a big part of our life. Often we make acknowledgments that we need to pray more. And many times in people's lives, when they don't have the victory they ought to have, that's one of the first things we look at or we think about. Ask them if they've been reading their Bible and praying like they should, and generally they haven't, and they'll acknowledge that. They'll say, "Well, no, I just got too busy, or I wasn't as prayerful as I ought to have been." And because of a lack of prayer, an effective prayer, I didn't have sufficient grace or strength or power in my life, and so I failed in the trial that I had, whatever it may be. In this passage of Scripture, it also talks about if there's any afflicted, let him pray. There are times that we must pray for ourselves. There are times that we need to get a hold of the Lord for ourselves, have our prayers heard and answered. It's a wonderful thing to have the brethren and be able to solicit prayer, agreement of prayer. God hears that and He answers it. But He also has made provisions that every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, the weakest to the strongest, might be able to individually, personally commune with God. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to know the value of that and learn how to pray a prayer that's effectual, a prayer that will move the Lord, a prayer that will be answered. So if any is afflicted, let him pray. Then it says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So there are times that probably all of us have had times in our life where we were sick and we prayed about it. We looked to the Lord, and then we felt the need of calling for the elders of the church, fulfilling the word of the Lord, and being anointed and having the prayer of faith, pray that the Lord might be able to heal us. I feel like that's the plan of God, and He wants to work that way. And then He speaks about some that would have faults. Something about confessing our faults one to another. People find it difficult sometimes to confess their faults. even though generally they're known anyway. And the benefit of confessing our fault is humbling ourselves, acknowledging it that the Lord, that prayer might be made and it might be healed. I believe today that it's not a disgrace to have a fault or to have a need, but the disgrace is not to acknowledge it when the Lord would speak to us. And when we would neglect or deny it, the Word of the Lord teaches us just as much to pray to confess. And while we don't just confess to a minister like Catholicism, yet there are times when it's beneficial for us to acknowledge our faults or our needs. We don't find it difficult when we have a physical need. Seem like it, with all ease we're able to say, I have a cold, or my arm hurts, or I need healing. And we're not reluctant to acknowledge that. But even more important, if we come to an understanding that I have a spiritual need, we need to come to the place that we recognize we're all brothers and sisters, and all of us at different times have spiritual needs in our life. And it would benefit us, as the Lord would lead us and direct us, to acknowledge that I have this spiritual need. And I want the Lord to heal. I want the Lord to help. And I believe that He'd do that if we're willing to confess or to acknowledge our weakness or our faults and let the Lord heal us. I especially want to call to our attention this afternoon in the 16th verse where it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm interested in prayer availing, and I feel confident today that you are too. But there are many here today that would like to be able to reach the Lord and have Him hear our prayer and answer them according to His will and work in our behalf first and foremost for our spiritual blessing and also for the material and the physical, because the Lord has provided to do that. The Scripture says the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent prayer, intense prayer, an earnest prayer. But it doesn't just stop there. I'm persuaded there are times that people pray earnestly, but to no avail. You take someone that gets in real trouble, just about anyone that gets in real trouble, life-threatening situation, and they're generally not just a casual prayer to God. It's an earnest prayer. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. But as I understand this Scripture, that doesn't necessarily obligate God to hear a prayer just because it's an earnest prayer. People can pray earnest, intensely, out of desperation, with a real intent, feeling and thought and desire, and still not avail. We have to consider the whole Scripture, where it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want my prayers to avail. And I want them to avail much. Therefore, I want to understand what He's speaking of here. And I believe that it's important that we be earnest, effectual, sincere, and it not just be a form, or it wouldn't just be a casual thing with us, but that from the very heart there would be an earnest petition to the Lord for His blessings and for His help and to our praise to Him. It ought to be in an earnest way, ought to be alert and with all honor and respect as we enter into the presence of the Lord and as we claim His promise. But I want to especially consider this afternoon the how God has committed Himself to the righteous man, to the one who is truly righteous before the Lord, will the Lord look unto. There is a Scripture in the 138th Psalm, and the 6th verse, it says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. I'm persuaded of that today. I feel that God, though He's no respect to person, He would be no respect to persons' prayers. It isn't that maybe some people seem to be more successful in their prayer life than others. It isn't that God is respect to persons or that he's moved that way, thinking, well, I like this one, so I'll hear and answer their prayer. And this one I may not be as attracted or close to, like would be in the human. God has no respect to person. Doesn't matter today how long one's been saved. And even really, according to their understanding, there are people who are saved today with maybe less understanding than you have, but they're righteous in all their ways. And in their earnest prayer, the Lord will hear and answer that prayer. Whereas, as we come to knowledge and understanding, there's greater responsibility for our righteousness and our acceptance with the Lord. And so, when we think about a righteous man, a man that is of a humble spirit, God has respect to that. That moves God on his throne. For an example, if there is an individual that needs to be saved, and they come to the Lord and begin to say, well, I'm not really all that bad, but I feel like I need a little something. And they would approach the throne of God. They may pray loud. They may pray long. It may appear they're very earnest in one sense. But unless they humble their heart in his righteous way, they'll never be able to be saved. So it is with us in our spiritual life. If we recognize that we have a spiritual need, and we approach the throne of God, and we would come to him somewhat like the man in the 18th chapter of Luke, and tell him, you know, I'm not all that bad. There's a lot of people not living as strong and as spiritual as I am, but I do have this need. I don't feel this afternoon that the Lord is going to have respect unto that man or that prayer. But it is to the one that is of a meek and lowly spirit, and as they're righteous before the Lord, and they come before him, that he has respect unto that. I want the Lord to respect me in that sense. I want him to look down with favor upon my prayers, my desires, and my interests in my life. And I feel like that God does this afternoon have a special regard. He is drawn to a humble spirit, to a broken spirit, to a spirit that is yielding and righteous before the Lord. We want that spirit to be in our hearts and in our lives. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, in the 20th verse, Jesus said, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no wise enter the kingdom." And I'm thinking that this is a key of God hearing and answering our prayer, is our righteousness. And if our righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, then we don't have much hope of God being moved on his throne and hearing and answering our prayer. The scribes and the Pharisees did have a righteousness, didn't they? They did have a form. They did have rules. But they didn't really have the righteousness of the Lord. And therefore, the Lord, in teaching us, made a point that except your righteousness exceed or go beyond and above the righteousness of the religious people, the Lord would not be able to accept or receive your sacrifice, your prayer. If you notice in the Gospels, there's quite a bit addressed concerning this. And I don't think it was just for history. I don't think it was just to fill the pages. But I believe it's a very real thing when the Lord was here. And I believe that he put it in there that it would serve as instructions and warning for us today. That the Lord doesn't want us to get into a form. He doesn't want us just to have certain rules and regulations. We need to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. And in the 10th chapter of Romans, I believe, where he spoke there about Israel, the apostle, let me turn and read that. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. To become righteous with God's righteousness, there is a submission. There is a yielding. The apostle speaking of these people, they had their own righteousness. They had their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own ways. They had zeal, but they did not possess or had not yielded themselves to the righteousness of God. It takes a humble heart to receive the righteousness of the Lord in our heart and life. It's easy sometimes for people to become righteous in their own ways, in their own opinions, in their own thoughts. But that's not the righteousness of God. Today, we need to ask the Lord to help us to be a righteous people, a godly people, yielding to His righteousness, to His truth in our heart and life. Because it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Turning to the 18th chapter of St. Luke, you remember when Jesus spoke to these people, it was a people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's who He was addressing the lesson to. And He taught that two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. How careful we have to be that we don't arrive at our own righteousness by observing others and feeling pretty good about ourselves because we're different and even living better than other people. That's what this man that trusted himself, he was righteous, as he looked about and he began to thank God that he wasn't like other men. A self-righteous spirit does that. It will always look to others and make people feel better about themselves. It hinders them from seeking more of God, more of His righteousness, more of His grace. You see, because we are a people that are well blessed with the truth and knowledge of the truth, and there are many things today that the Lord has given us light and grace and understanding concerning our life. There are many things we don't do that are wrong. There are many things that we do that are right. And what we must be careful is that we don't fall into a spirit or a way of self-righteous and come before the Lord and say, Lord, surely I'm entitled to the answer of my prayer and the desire of my heart because who I am and the things I'm doing right and other things that I'm not doing that others do. That's what this Pharisee, that's how he was praying. And self-righteousness stymies spiritual growth. It will hinder us. He said to the Lord, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that's commendable to give unto the Lord, and to fast and to pray. But really, it wasn't availing this man, was it? He wasn't a righteous man. He may have been even fervent at times before the people. But he wasn't a righteous man. He was a self-righteous man. And therefore, his prayer did not avail. We want our prayers this afternoon to reach the throne of God. If we're afflicted, we want to be healed. If there are physical sickness, we want God to move and to heal those that are sick in body. If there are those that have faults, we want the Lord to heal that, to hear and answer prayer, and to heal that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the word of the Lord says, availeth much. So I have to believe that. I'm persuaded of it, that it will work, that it avails. And I feel also that the more righteous that I am before the Lord, and the more I fervently seek Him, that he'll be mindful, and that he'll be true to his word and his promise, and our prayers will avail much. They'll avail greatly. We also read where this in this lesson about the publican. He was standing afar off. He did not as much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote on his breast, humbled himself, and asked the Lord to have mercy upon him. I don't know this afternoon how you pray or how you feel, but I never come into the presence of the Lord without seeking his mercy. I never feel that I'm entitled in my own self even to his promises. But it's through his mercy that he saved me. And it's through his mercy that he fulfills his promises and his word to me. And so this publican, he wouldn't as much as lift up his eyes to the heaven. But in his heart, through humility, he simply asked the Lord to have mercy upon him. I think sometimes that would serve us well. We come into the presence of the Lord not bringing our own righteousness, not bringing our own goodness. And Lord, I don't understand so much why you don't hear and answer my prayers. Don't you know who this is? No, but I'm going to come into the presence of the Lord, and I recognize that everything that you do for me, Lord, is through your mercy. And so I humble my heart before you, Lord, by your righteousness, and I seek that you would have mercy and that you would hear and answer my prayers. In the 34th Psalm, the 15th verse says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." It's a wonderful thing this afternoon to know that the Lord's ears are in tune with the cries of the righteous. His eyes are upon us today. His ears are open to our prayers as we lift our hearts to the Lord, as we seek him. We can have that confidence that the Lord is there in heaven with all power and all of his promises. And as we live a righteous life before him, it says his eyes are upon us and his ears are open to our prayers. He's hearing us. In the first chapter of Romans, our thought this afternoon is that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to understand better the Lord's righteousness and how to truly be righteous before him. In the first chapter, in the 16th, 17th verse, the apostle said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So it is in the gospel, it's in the word of the Lord this afternoon, that his righteousness is revealed to us. And the Lord has different ways of revealing that to us. Often in our individual lives, as we look into the word of the Lord, and as his Spirit blesses it to us and gives us understanding, I'm sure that all of us here this afternoon would testify at times when the Lord opened some of his scripture, gave understanding, and revealed his righteousness and his truth through his word, as he spoke to our heart by the word of the Lord. There are other times through exhortation, other times through personal testimony and experience, through the preaching of the word, the expounding of the word of the Lord, that his truth or his word is revealed unto us. How we respond to that determines our righteousness. If we have an open heart, if we are conscientious to the word of the Lord, the counsel of God, and open our heart and receive it into our life, it will work righteousness within us. If we at times would fail to be receptive to the counsel of the Lord, the word of God, and become offended, then it would cause unrighteousness to be our lot. It's important to have a sensitivity and an honor and a reverence for God's Word, for the truth that we hear. Many times it'll find us in need, and that isn't a time to get discouraged. It's a time to open our hearts and yield to the Word of the Lord. In every one of our lives, the Lord is faithful by His Holy Spirit with the Word of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, to direct us, to teach us, to reprove us, whatever He designs. And we need to recognize that that's how we become more righteous. When God's Word goes forth, and when we receive it in our hearts, accept it in our lives, then we become more righteous. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what makes us today more righteous is more of His Word, more of His ways, receiving them into our heart and life. So I want to encourage us this morning, this afternoon, to know that every one of us can become more righteous. I'm talking about self-righteous, but being righteous before the Lord by receiving His Word, His counsel, into our heart and to our life. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, there's a very encouraging scripture here. In the sixth verse, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Well, the Lord's Beatitudes. They that hunger and thirst have a real longing for more of the Lord in their life. "Lord, I appreciate You saving me. I appreciate all You've done for me. But Lord, really, I want to be stronger." We have different terms for it. Sometimes we'll say more spiritual or stronger in the Lord. But what it really means is more of His righteousness. And so the Lord said here, "Blessed is the one that hungers and thirsts for His righteousness, for they shall be filled." Sometimes it does us well to pray for a greater hunger and a greater thirst. I want more of the Lord. Amen. In all ages of our life, every time of our life, young, middle-aged, old-aged, I'm reaching out and I want more of the Lord. I want more of His righteousness. I want to be stronger in the Lord. And so I have that hunger and thirst. And I know the Lord won't deny us. When it's not there, it's simply because there hasn't been the hunger and thirst. Now, people begin to hunger and thirst for the things of this world, the natural things of the world, and I would say even many times the lawful things of the world. If that's their affection, if that's what they're looking for, and many times people, they want to fulfill the desires of the natural man and kind of work in the Lord, or work in His will or way. But the Lord wants us today to realize the value of hungering and thirsting for more of Him, more of His righteousness, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Have you ever felt that you needed to get a hold of the Lord and you wasn't as close as you ought to be? I would say probably all of us have been there. Times when there was a real need to reach the Lord, and we began to look into our life and feel like, "I haven't really been living as close to the Lord as I should." And we seek Him and we ask His forgiveness, and in His mercy He forgives and draws us close to Himself. But what really happens when we pray that prayer, we humble our heart, we're really seeking His righteousness. "Lord, I have been careless. I've drifted a little bit. I've been too busy with the cares of life. And now I acknowledge it and I'm sorry and I ask Your forgiveness and I want You to help me. I want You to bless me and draw me close to Yourself." That prayer is really asking the Lord for more of His righteousness and to be drawn closer to Him. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm very interested today, personally, my own life, of having more effectual prayers. Prayers that avail more. Thank the Lord this afternoon for answering prayer. I know He does, God's people. I know He answers our prayers. But I want him to answer them even in a greater way, be more effective, that he would be honored in our lives. So we that would hunger and thirst for righteousness, he says that we would be filled, that he'll bless us in that way. In Hosea, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." There are times in every one of our lives that we need to break up the fallow ground, that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, come to him broken and contrite. I'm thinking of a brother in California many years ago. He used to come to prayer meeting. Ever so often he would gain some special victory. And this is the way he expressed it. He said, "I got desperate before the Lord." Different times I heard him say, "I got desperate before the Lord." And when he got desperate before the Lord, he broke up the fallow ground. He humbled himself. He became broken before the Lord. It's a good thing for us as saints to become broken before the Lord. Become humble before him. Just pour out our hearts, and that our spirit would be just yielded before him. Lord, we saw some of that last night, thank the Lord, where there are those that just openly poured out their heart and was broken. Not just those that are unsaved, but saved people come and become broken before the Lord, humble before the Lord, yielding before the Lord. And in doing so, he said, he would rain righteousness. He would fill us with his spirit, with his graces, with his truth in our heart and our life. I think that in some cases, that's the only way it's going to work. I don't think we can come to the Lord somewhat stiffly and maybe even pray at length and receive that righteousness, that blessing, that help, and that favor. But we'll come before him and tarry there until our spirit becomes broken, becomes yielding. Lord, I want you to pour out upon my heart and my life your righteousness, your grace, your purity, your holiness. I feel like the Lord has promised to do that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I feel strongly today that the Lord is no respecter of persons. I believe the Lord can help us in our lives, our personal lives, to draw close to him where our prayers will avail much. And the Lord will be blessed in that. In the 48th chapter of Isaiah, in the 18th verse, God speaking concerning his children, and he said, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." We find that it's through obedience that we receive of his righteousness. In other words, it's more than just a knowledge. It's more than just a good intent, even saying a prayer, but it is a real yielding and obedience to God, to his Spirit, when he speaks to our heart, that he will fill us with his righteousness. I suppose one of the things we may overlook sometimes is the little things. It's true that we wouldn't go out today and rob banks, beat up people, things of that nature. But God deals with every one of our hearts and lives daily with little things. He checks us. He guides us. He teaches us. And I would think today that if there's any weakness, it would be that perhaps sometimes we become careless with the little checks of the Lord. Things that in our mind doesn't seem all that important, and maybe influenced by environment or other people, and we're not as careful to be obedient to the check of the Lord. And therefore, it's limited what he can do as far as the waves of righteousness that would flow over our soul. I shared with you before, there was a man, Brother J.W. Trimble, an older man that was saint of God. And there are a lot of experiences he shared with us over the time, but I remember him telling one time that he was plastering in Pacoima, the campgrounds, and he kneeled down to plaster and he knelt on a little, it was either a rock or a little piece of board, and it hurt his knee. Did you ever do that? Well, it does hurt. He picked up that rock and he did like a lot of us, he threw it. Wasn't happy at all that it hurt his knee. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, that wasn't the thing to do. And this brother got up, walked over and picked up the pebble, come back, he kneeled down again, and tossed it. See? Now, that seems real small. And I only mention that because all of us have small things sometimes in our life. And there are small things that the Lord teaches us and checks us. And I feel that to enter into that place of righteousness that really we're praying for and that we desire, we must learn to be careful, to be obedient. And he said if Israel would have been obedient, then they would have had peace like a river and righteousness like the waves of the ocean. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't say that just an earnest prayer is going to avail. There are people sometimes that get in trouble or get caught, and they'll cry loud and hard, maybe in great earnestness. But the Scripture says it's the righteous man. The fervent prayer of a righteous man is that which avails much. I've always been challenged with the Scripture in 1 John, when it comes to seeking and desiring more faith in our prayers to the Lord and ways whereby that our faith can be strengthened. In the third chapter of 1 John, it says, the 20th verse, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." To me, that's a great challenge. Now, many times people become satisfied with endeavoring just to keep the commandments. You know, what's required? What do I have to do? And so they concentrate on that. Just whatever I have to do, I'll do because I want to be saved and I don't want to be lost. And live in that state and try to exercise a confidence and a faith in the Lord. And it's not perfected. It's not as satisfying or strong as they desire and as they want. The secret of it is that we not only keep His commandments, but we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There are many times there are lawful things that are not expedient and they're not edifying to us. And so, though they would not be considered breaking the commandment of the Lord, it would come under this that it's really not the will of the Lord or not pleasing in His sight. And if we live careless that way, and if we just try to observe the commandments and go our way and serve ourselves and live to ourselves, we'll find that we won't have that close confidence and faith and belief that we need to have our prayers heard and answered before the Lord. It is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Leave that with you.